Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Maxwell and my show, which is Proud to Be Different on the Essence of Success Network. Just want to let you know, as usual, we will be taking phone calls after the first 30-second break, or 30-minute break, sorry. Call-in number is going to be area code 646-727-2914. Again, that number is 646-727-2914. We will take those after the 30-minute break time. And just want to run over some little pieces of news before we go into my interview with Mr. Matt Machat, I believe. The first thing is, everybody here in Seattle woke up to a lovely dusting of snow. Whoop-de-doo-da! We all went nuts, and Facebook was full of pictures of people taking pictures out of their windows. Nobody actually in the snow, just taking pictures of people outside and being silly. I myself live on a hill right next to a major hospital in the city, so the ambulances going up and down had a rough time of it, and a lot of the cars were very slowly driving up and down the hill, making sure they don't make a mess. But now, after noontime, it started sunny and warming up, and several hours later, it's pretty much gone. We've got terrible winds. Everything's pretty bashing around, but I think we'll survive. The other thing is that I wanted to remind folks, in case they were unaware, a couple days from now on Monday is December 1st, and that is observance of World AIDS Day. Organizations across the planet talk about AIDS education because it is still something that we deal with. As well as prevention and keeping the conversation going. I myself, as a member of the Experience Music Project Museum, the EMP, down by the Space Needle, will be going to their party that they're having. That's a music and free food and festivities called WOPOP, WOPOP, on KEXP, one of the local radio stations, World AIDS Day event. Now, I went ahead and got myself set up for a guest to come with me, but I have yet to have anybody to go with. So if anybody in the Seattle area that's out there listening wants to go, it starts at about 5 o'clock and goes to 10. And so just give me a holler on my Facebook page, and I'd love for you to go with me. Free food, that's all I got to say. That should pretty much be it, free food. The other thing, of course, the entire planet has been aware of things that have gone down in Ferguson this week. I'm not going to get too much into it because I much been talked to death about. I was not happy with it for obvious reasons, and I am interested to see how things are going to play out in the next couple months. It's kind of how the situation with Rodney King happened, and how everybody sort of looked to LA for a good year or so after that event took place. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, so I want to go ahead and bring my friend Matt on. If you can give me 1 second here, Okay, Matt, are you there with me?
Yes, I am.
Hey, so this is Matt. He is somebody that I met through Facebook. He's got a really good program that goes on. If you can go and give me a 5-second blurb about it.
Well, certainly. My business is Sacred Self Connections, and I offer intuitive readings and Reiki, and I also mentor people on how to develop and strengthen their intuition.
Cool. Now, one of the things that I was interested in talking with you about is, in reading up with you in the past, I know that you had said that you had had some events take place when you were younger that sort of, if I remember correctly, gave you sort of these abilities to be able to look into people differently than normal day-to-day sort of thing or others' day-to-day sort of thing.
Absolutely. And looking back, at the time when I was as early as I can remember, even 5-6 years of age, that there was a great deal of sensitivity just in general, especially when I would physically touch an item. I tended to have these visual flashes in my mind. And sometimes I would just know certain things, and I didn't understand it. I didn't have any clear sense of where it was coming from or how it was even happening. It was just instantaneous. I could touch the phone when it was ringing, and I would know who was calling. I could touch the gift that, Santa had brought and would know what was in it with fair regularity. And so I wasn't trying to do anything. It just seemed to kind of happen on its own. And I really had no reason to question it. I didn't talk about it. I was really shy. Nobody else was talking about these things. So I just assumed that everyone could do this or that it just wasn't a thing to talk about. So it really wasn't until I got toward junior high, high school, around that time in my life, and thankfully I have a family member, an aunt, who is very gifted with her own intuition, and she saw these gifts in me, and we would have some really nice, deep conversations that finally started to help me put some words, to what was happening. And that was a huge relief because I thought either I'm crazy or something had to be going on, and I just didn't understand it. I'd had one particular experience that I had forgotten for a long period of time until I started to develop working in the metaphysical community when I started to take a series of meditation classes and intuition development classes. When I was about 5 years old, the house I grew up in was out in the country, and we had about a half acre, and behind the house was a creek. And so one Saturday morning, my dad, my two sisters and I, and some of Dad's friends and their kids came over, and we wanted to go fishing in the creek. And there was a very large tree that had fallen over, but it was a bridge basically from the shore on out, so we could climb up onto the tree and just have a seat and throw our lines in the water. Well, at that age, I wasn't really hyper, but pretty energetic and kind of a chatterbox, and I just didn't want to sit still. I wanted to play. So I stood up to get off of the tree, and in doing so, when I stepped over my sister, she was at the very end of the tree, I slipped over. There's a patch of moss. I slipped and I fell right into the water. Well, she was the only one who noticed me and just thought I was playing around, so didn't say anything, and everyone else was kind of engaged with each other. And I sank to the bottom. One of my ankles got trapped in roots of another tree that was not far away. And I got stuck. I couldn't free my foot. And I remember thinking, how calm I was. There was no really overt reaction. I wasn't upset. I wasn't emotional. I wasn't really feeling anything. And then suddenly, and the details are so vibrant even to this day from this experience, that suddenly I could see a light, and it looked like it was shining through the water. And this is really muddy water. There's definitely nothing clear about this water. And I just thought, oh, it must be the sunshine shining through. And suddenly I heard a voice in my mind. It really wasn't a physical voice outside of me. It just was clear in my mind. And it was neither male nor female. It was just a very, very balanced voice. And it calmly asked me, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And immediately I reacted in anger. I was screaming in my mind. I was trying to free myself as hard as I could. And in my mind, I'm screaming, I can't go yet. I have to be here to help my mother make her transition when she has her breathing problems. I mean, it was clear, crystal clear. And then moments later, Dad dove in, and I'm sure this happened all much more quickly than it's taking me to tell the story. And he was able to free me, and I went into shame and embarrassment of, you know, having the accident. And I think I just shut down to it until years later I started to meditate and really question, you know, the roots of what was going on. And then it all came back. It was exceptionally clear. So things were fine at the time. And again, I was about 5 years old. When I was 15, going on 16, my mother passed away from lung cancer. And I did help her during her transition in several different ways. So, looking back at that, it just reminded me that we all have a purpose and that there's a reason for us to be here. And that's been a help to me along the way when things got challenging and I kind of wondered, am I on the right path? Am I doing what I need to be doing? You know, that kept coming back to me and was a great reminder, certainly.
Yeah. I know from my own experience, growing up out in Central Washington, a small farming community, very religious, things were pretty black and white as per how people thought of spirituality and that sort of thing. And I remember very vividly having dreams where I would be in a certain thing, like I would be at the front of the class writing on the chalkboard, or I would be at a next door neighbor standing in the yard talking to someone, saying a specific sentence. And then a week or two later, or 3 weeks later, or even a month later, those events would actually play out in real life. And so I had that cognizance, that, and I started referring to it as precog. I would have those precog moments. I haven't had them so much as an adult now.
Okay.
But when I was a kid, they were very strong, and they always kind of spooked me because I didn't really understand it when I was a child. And then as I started growing up in my teens, I started understanding them a little bit more. And my mom's friends were all pretty hippie-ish and into new agey stuff and all that kind of stuff. And I say that not necessarily in tongue in cheek at all. I that's like always been the best way I describe it for people to understand. But for me, it's folks that have always been on the search of looking for something outside of what is common or what is boring. When it comes to spirituality. I got to be able to see folks talking about Eastern religions and meditation and the helping of things like massage and heated stones on you and acupuncture and stuff like that, all at a very young age. Most people don't get into those things until they're in their adult time, and I got educated on it fairly young. So I always felt very honored on that level because I got a chance to be able to see it and understand it more. So when I was an adult, I could say, oh, yeah, I totally know what you're talking about. This is not new to me.
Nice.
And so when I heard your story and I started talking with you on Facebook and that sort of thing, I was like, this guy has an amazing experience with what he's done. Now, when you do your readings and that sort of thing with folks, how's that setting sort of set up? Do you go the route of like music and that sort of thing, or do you just do like complete silence and calm breathing and whatnot?
It has really evolved over the years, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And part of it depends on where I am in my life and what's going on. If things are pretty even keeled and, you know, not a lot of drama going on and not a lot to distract me, then it tends to be very easy to get into that space. If I'm rushed, if I my focus is a little scattered, then I certainly do need some time to sit. You know, there's really two primary ways in terms of what I offer. I do talk to people over the phone, and I also have them come to my home. I will travel for groups of three or more. So,
mm-hmm.
So it just, there's different dynamics in traveling to a client's location. You know, I don't have a control over the energy and, you know, the layout and the placement of things. You know, you come in and they say, oh, we'll put you in the library, the office, or the kids' room, or, you know, something like that. So you just kind of have to take what's there. And so I tend to bring things with me. Stones are a big thing for me, being sensitive to their energy. And I just see them as a great assistant. The energy is very grounding, very clearing, helps to raise my energy and vibration. Sometimes I wear them, sometimes I just carry them, or I'll have them on the table when I'm doing a session. When I'm home doing a session by phone or a client comes to me, I do have music playing, but very, very softly, such to the point where you can barely hear it at all. And I do that mainly for the client. I don't want that to be a distraction to them. To me, it's not a distraction at all. I've worked in different metaphysical stores where they have music playing over the PA system, and it's fairly loud. So that was a great training to help me not be distracted, you know, by those sounds. Incense is very helpful. There's something about that smell and really the direct link to the brain. And how it just kind of puts me into that state or assists me in doing that. And there's something very sacred about that to me, even just the act of lighting it, of choosing where to place it. I often light a candle, just a simple white tea light. Nothing really fancy. It's just the conscious intention of bringing light into the situation, into the exchange. So really nothing too fancy. And part of it depends also on the individual involved. You know, if I have a shorter session, a 15-minute session, I do offer those if people don't have a lot to talk about or only have one question or, frankly, don't have a lot of money to spend. Sometimes that's, it doesn't take nearly, you know, the same preparation as if I'm doing a full hour with somebody or if I'm doing a full hour plus a Reiki session on top of that. But it's really, in an essence to me, energy follows intent. So I could be in a place that's totally foreign to me, and if I set the intent to connect with a certain energetic mind space, then that can happen. So it's, those are just a few of the consistent tools that I use.
Okay. Well, I've got two questions that popped up in the chat room that I wanted to run past you, and they're both very similar. What has been your experience using any sort of doing readings with cards, tarot cards? And if you have used them, have you used the Angel Oracle cards?
Oh, it was a good question. I've heard of the Angel Oracle cards, but I've not personally worked with them at all. I have a couple of friends in this field that have, but it's cards in general tend to be primarily more for myself if I'm looking to have my own guidance, if I'm looking for a point to meditate upon. Now, once in a while, I will throw a card, not from the classic tarot deck. Although one I do favor is the Osho Zen tarot deck. I really adore that deck. There's something about those that just speak to me. Even some of these other cards, there's a deck of cards by what's her name? Iyanla Van Zandt, a motivational speaker. And they're nothing to do with the tarot whatsoever, but they're really powerful and poignant points. I call them my get real cards. So if I want to get to the heart of something and kind of, take the blinders off, I turn to those cards because she poses a lot of hard to hear things, wake up, kind of stuff. And so they're used as an adjunct or as sometimes a pushing off point, but I rarely use them. I certainly can. I've studied them to some extent, not a lot, but I tend not to use physical objects like that in terms of accessing the intuition.
Let's see. I got another question. So somebody in the chat room asked when you've done a reading, whether it be with cards or whatever else, have you been shocked by what you saw? Did something come along and just sort of unexpectedly come up, and you had to figure out how to present that properly without being giving off frightening information?
Yes, it has happened. I tell people at the beginning of my sessions, especially when they're new to me, that I don't look for anything. I have no assumptions or expectations of why the client is coming to me or what might come up. I remember one time in specific, it was at one of the metaphysical stores I worked in, and the setup was that we were at a nice wooden table. They had a big koi pond in this shop. It was a stunningly beautiful place. But we were on the floor. People could walk right next to you and look at a book and hear the reading. I mean, there was really no privacy. So that had another dimension of, mind your words, kind of element. And this woman sat down, had never met her before. And she said, "I only want to know one thing." She goes, "I just want to know any information you get about me in past lives." And she goes, "You can tell me anything, but just that's what I'm really curious about." And immediately I got a very detailed flash in my mind, and it was not nice. It was really, really bad. I mean, it was bad. I'd never seen anything that intense. Nothing even close to that. And I was speechless. And she just sit there with a big smile on her face, waiting to hear that, she was something. And so I really had to ask, I take a moment and truly ask my guidance for help, and how do I translate this in a way that was going to be beneficial to her growth? Because that's really what's important to me in a reading. And after just a moment or two, it didn't take long. We're able to kind of get to the distilled essence there, without giving a lot of details. And she was extremely resistant, very resistant to what I had to say in that distilled essence, because it completely went against what she felt she had gone through. And then, to me, the real message came through. I remember when I told her, she goes, "Well, absolutely not. There's no way I've ever done that." And I said, "So you've only gone to half of the Earth School classes?" And she just stopped in her tracks. She just, "Oh, like, yes, we do it all. We're good, we're bad, we're positive, negative, evil, whatever. We go through all of this in our evolution." And it just never occurred to her. She thought she was a saint or, saved the unwashed masses and, done all these wonderful things. And it was very shocking. So there had to be this moment of getting to the heart of it. And I know that even though some of the words that come through are mine, I ask that the most appropriate words and the attendant energy come along with it. Even tone of voice, if I need to raise my voice a little to be emphatic about something, if I need to be, you know, very soft and compassionate and gentle with it, you know, there's different ways. And that continues to amaze me, because there's times where I'm hearing it just as the client's hearing it and having no clue I was about to say something. So I definitely know there's something more divine in action, something other than me, that is just borrowing me for a moment or two to get the message across.
Yeah. Now, I got one last question before we go into the break time. Someone asked, have you ever met a hybrid in your work?
You know, I've heard that word before, and I've never quite used it, but it really resonates with me. I have, but it's almost always been kind of remote or in passing. Like, I haven't had a lot of FaceTime, a lot of direct one-on-one time, but there's been a knowing. Like I can recognize that energy. So there's definitely a curiosity, but it feels like it's something that I'm personally not meant to connect with too directly at this time. Otherwise, I'd be meeting them left and right. Or, you know, I would have one for a friend, you know, kind of a thing. So it hasn't come up much, but I've seen it, I've recognized it, and I'm really curious about it, because I know there are so many forms out there. It's just this universe is incredibly big for it to be just us, that's for sure.
I know. I always tell people, we're not just a bunch of like little ants on a blue marble floating through space at top speed. There's other things out there besides us. They just kind of look at us like we're strange and ignore us. So I'm sorry?
I was going to say the petulant kids on the school grounds. Yeah, we're just kind of doing our things. Mm. There's a very advanced and very wise sentient beings out there.
Folks, if you can give me 1 second, I'm going to go ahead and put our guest, Matt, on mute for a moment, play the middle halftime show, or halftime song, sorry. And then I will come back in a few minutes, and we can start again. We'll be able to take calls. The phone number for Proud to be Different on the Essence of Success Network is area code 646-727-2914. I've got my chat room moderator, Nina, back online. She was gone earlier due to technical issues. But she will be there to help out with any questions that anybody's got, as well as myself, as soon as I get back. So I will go ahead and put Mr. Matt on hold here for a second and start the music. So give me 1 second, folks, and let's listen to some Dolly Parton singing Peace Train. One moment.
Good has begun.
Okay, everybody, thank you so much for your patience on that. So again, this is Maxwell with Proud to be Different on the Essence of Success Network. And the call-in number is area code 646-727-2914. And we have our chat room moderator back online, Nina. So if you have any questions, you can go ahead and type those into the chat room, and we'll be make sure that we can get those passed through as well. And I've got my friend Matt Machot. Did I ever pronounce that correctly? Is it Machot?
It is. Very good.
Yay!
So, I usually get musket.
Musket. So, the lady of the house, bouquet residence. If anybody knows British television, it's Keeping Up Appearances, and it's spelled bucket, but the woman always refers to it as bouquet. So anyway, so I've got a call that's been sitting here just about forever. It's area code 443. I'm going to bring them online really quick. And area code 443, who am I speaking with?
This is Arlene. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Arlene. I'm doing pretty well. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland.
Yay, Maryland in the house. Do you have any questions for Matt?
Well, I guess my question, other than meditation, is there anything else that you recommend for a person who wants to develop their intuition more?
Certainly, it's a great question and one that I hear a lot. Music is very helpful, and I say if it's anything that speaks to or resonates with you, whatever the form, it's absolutely going to benefit you. There is a particular product that I've used in the past, and you should be able to find it on online. I'm not sure what stores would sell it. There's a series of compact discs. And you can certainly buy them individually. You don't need to buy a series of them at all. And they're on a lot of different topics. The Monroe Institute created this technology decades ago, and it's called HemiSync. It's short for Hemisphere Synchronization. And some are just music. Some are music with spoken word. And there are ones specific to the development of certain skills, gifts, and abilities, even smoking cessation, weight loss, there's all kinds of topics. But what it literally does, as long as you listen to it directly from the CD, don't reproduce it, don't put it on your iPod or anything like that, because it will lose in the translation, and wear headphones so that you're equally hearing it left and right side, as it balances the hemispheres of the brain. So it helps with that physiological aspect. You know, I know it's very simplistic too, but I ask for help mentally, verbally. I believe in angels. I believe we have spirit guides. I believe we have master teachers. There's all forms of these unseen helpers, and they're there to be called upon. So I ask them to assist me in raising my vibration so that I can hear them and I can feel them. Help me to ask the right questions. I wish somebody had told me that early on. It would have saved me years of heartache, really and truly. Really. You can ask a question one way of your intuition, and you'll get no response. You can rephrase it, keeping the same intention, and then suddenly it's like the floodgates open up. So part of this is about knowing what it is that you really want to experience. Now, I encounter this with my students a lot. Most people have a strong desire to develop these abilities, but on some level, they're either afraid or they're just not quite ready. So if your intuition isn't unfolding at lightning speed, don't think you're doing something wrong. Don't think you're off track. It has its own divine timing. these classes I took years ago, some people evolved very quickly. Others, they were really the same place they were when they started class on day one. They just barely, you know, got anything from it. So I've learned to ask for information that I am ready for, that I can handle, and to know the difference. If I'm not ready, then help me to know that too, so I can let go of the question. So I know that only, you know, briefly touches on it, but those are some things that have worked well and continue to work well for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds really good. The show about 10 or 15 minutes after the program here finishes, it automatically is recorded, so you're able to go back and listen to it again. So anybody who's listening that missed any of this information that we'll be sharing with you tonight, you'll be able to go back and listen to it and scribble it down, because I am the lord of sticky notes, because I can never remember anything. Okay. Thank you so much. I got another caller behind us, so if we can give them a try. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you. You were my official first-time caller in my show since August, so thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great night, and enjoy the rest of the show, dear.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Take care.
Bye. Okay, let's get our next caller. Caller is calling from area code 780. And who am I speaking with?
Well, you are speaking with Nina, and
hi,
always
Nina.
I'm just listening, Max.
Hello. This is Nina. She is my wonderful friend who helps me out with the chat room. So in that case, Nina, let me go ahead and put you back on mute. Sorry about that. I got a little excited. So for me, the folks that I was around, I got into a lot of physical therapy stuff and learning how to do massage and my brain just went. When you do the pressure points on the foot.
Reflexology,
thank you. I learned from a reflexologist how to do all of that stuff. And so as an adult, one of the things that I've done is when I have friends that have problems with their bodies and that sort of thing, is I'm always like, hey, I'm not going to charge you. I'm going to do what I can. And we can go from there. And I integrate a lot of what I've learned of the breathing skills and keeping calmness going. I use the sound of running water because I think that it's always something that's very calming. For me, I've always connected with nature. Growing up in Central Washington, it's very dry. It's a desert out there, even though it's farming communities, there's still not a lot of life, as it were. And so when I moved out here to the west coast of the state, trees everywhere, very vibrant. Now, when you've done your work in the past, do you find that you get a lot of connection out of the nature side of things?
Most definitely. That really has been a very consistent common thread through my development, through my experiences. You know, I remember when I was very young, because of my sensitivity, and even just being around too many people sometimes, I tended toward the loner side of wanting some quiet downtime for myself. So I often would, you know, climb trees. We had a small, we called it the woods behind our house. It seemed huge, of course, as a child, but not so big in reality. But spending a lot of time there, even just sitting on large boulders that were there. Water is a big one for me, whether it's swimming, soaking my feet in water. You know, here in Ohio in the wintertime, it's, you know, it gets very cold and gray, and it's not not always very inviting and welcoming to be outside to connect with nature more directly. So I'll even, you know, watch videos or screensavers, you know, things that just have these beautiful images that can work in a pinch as well. And the essential oils that remind me of nature, again, using that sense of smell to connect me, to bring back those memories. I think the tree huggers have it right in a lot of ways, you know, to really physically connect with that energy. It's very cleansing. It's very calming, very grounding, certainly. And there's a consciousness there, too. I remember years ago when a group trip with some friends and we were visiting a property and nobody told me I could do this. I felt compelled to go up to this small pine tree and I just reached out and started to touch the needles. And in my mind, I said, tell me your story. I don't even know where that came from. It just occurred to me. And suddenly in my mind, I heard this really excited voice. It's like, really? You want to hear my story? Nobody ever asked. And it was just so excited. And so there was definitely that dialogue and just the energy that went with it. So there's so many forms of it. I'll even visualize myself as different elements, water and air and fire. That has been really helpful. And to tune into which element to use more specifically, somehow I learned along the way, when we first step outside, you know, nature greets us every time, even in big cities. So what element do you notice first? Which one grabs your attention? Does the wind pick up? You know, is it raining? Do you hear a sound of dripping water or moving water? Do you feel heat? You know, different things. And so those can be clues about which element is really abundant for you or one that is maybe lacking, something that you might need to connect with and call upon a little bit more.
Yeah. And I got a question that came up in the chat room that I wanted to ask, and I think this is very important for all of us, whether or not you deal specifically with having intuition or not. What would be your recommendation in dealing with fundamentalist-type family members or friends who don't understand or even make fun of the intuitive sensitivities?
That is definitely a challenge, one that I've been pretty fortunate in not having to deal a lot with. I've helped some clients with that, and I've had some direct experience. To me, the main focus, the main tool that over years I finally got to the point of understanding, connecting with, and finally being able to use was more of an internal thing that I would do, more so than a verbal response or, you know, trying to defend or state anything. Although, of course, there's room for that, and that can be important. What I would do, especially if they were coming from this kind of angry place or judgmental place, you know, if there's more of a heavier, negative, emotional kind of connotation to where they were coming from, is I would do my best to look for and remember two things. Now, before I say these things, I just want to state that this is my awareness. It is how I perceive things. So this may or may not fit certain people's sensibilities or belief systems. So take from it what you will, certainly. I had a teacher who said she goes, try it on for size. If it fits, keep it. If not, throw it away. So you don't have to, adopt it as your own. And so I would look for within the person, the family member, the friend, the teacher, whomever it might have been, I would look for in myself, just see if I could see this inside of them, two things. One is, could I see that they were in pain? That on some level, when they're reaching out in that way, if it's disrespectful, if it's aggressive, you know, whatever it is, when people do those things, they're not coming from a loving place. They're not coming from a place of all is well inside of them. Some issue. Who knows what that might be? And I don't endeavor to figure that out unless it's important for my or their growth to do so. The second thing, and this has been very instrumental in helping me with these reactions from people, is to see their divinity, to see what I call the kind of that divine spark. It's not their personality. It's not their ego. You know, it's none of that. It's something I believe that we all have. And again, I know that maybe doesn't fit everybody's paradigm, but it's just something that has really worked for me. And what that does, if I can really see that they are in pain on some level, that helps me be more compassionate, first of all, and to see that divine spark. And that reminds me, okay, I'm dealing with more than just, you know, this 5'5" person with a scowl on their face here. You know, there's a spirit in there, too. And if I can speak to that and respond to that, what happens? I've had some profound teachers with this along the way, I tell you, like we all have, is my energy shifts. So they can still say what they're saying. They can still do what they're doing. And that's fine. I don't need to change them. I don't need to prove anything to them. I don't need to shift them whatsoever. But I can accept them. And it raises my vibration because I'm connecting consciously with what I call the I Am, capital I, capital Am. And so whatever they fling at me, it slides right off. I don't feel a personal attack. It doesn't really bother me. But I also don't become numb to it either because I can still be fully aware of what's going on. So that one alone, again, that's one I wish somebody taught me very early on. That took me decades to get to that one, that's for sure. And it's still put into to test now and again. And then I just take it each person, instead of going into this kind of rote response, because, you know, we have these trigger points and it can immediately bring up a thought. And, you know, when I hear this, I immediately say that. I stop and just say, no, wait, what do I really need to say here? And, you know, this is another big one. I think I know that we don't even have to respond. You don't have to say anything. Just sit there and smile. Sometimes that diffuses it, too, because then they're not getting out of the situation what they're looking for. So I'm not playing into it energetically. I really hope that helps some people because I understand, you know, people don't understand it. They're afraid of it. They marginalize it. I've had clients who host me to read out of their home, and they call me the help, the entertainment. You know, I've had that along the way. And I thought, this is my livelihood. This is my life purpose. It's very sacred to me. But once in a while, I will call them on it, and I say, that may be your stance, but this is very sacred to me, and if you cannot accept that, then perhaps I'm not the one for you, and I'm not afraid to walk away from that, and that usually changes the tune really quick, so.
Yeah, I mean, from my own experience, being a gay man, having to deal with people's just sometimes not even just flat-out homophobic anger, but just ignorance of just not knowing very well how to speak to another human being. Like what you said, there are times where I just sit there and like just kind of smile at them, and that confuses them, and then they're just like, they don't know what to do because they're not getting a reaction that they are expecting to get.
Right.
And it diffuses it, and it calms everything down, and I just walk away. It's a famous quote from Quentin Crisp, the English gay writer, who said that he would rather walk away from a fight than put up his dukes, kind of thing. And that's how I kind of feel. It's like I'd rather sit there and say, okay, this isn't going to get me anywhere, no matter how strong your opinion may be about what I'm doing or who I am.
Right.
you still are an unfortunate individual, and I don't got time. I am too old and too pretty to be dealing with this.
There you go. Well, this is where the intuition comes in, too. If you really listen to the vibration of the moment, and you can develop a discerning sensibility of knowing, you know, is this something to even address? Is this a teachable moment where maybe you can educate somebody, give them a different point of view, something new to consider? Or are they in such a place where their mind is so made up and the blinders are on and what have you, that it really is just going to be a waste of time and energy? So that takes some discernment. But the other thing I would add to really anybody listening to this, whether it is about intuition or any other part of who and what you are and being accepted, is remember that your success in life, your prosperity, your health, your well-being, your joy, none of that depends on other people, not truly. So if they don't get it, if they don't like it, if they don't accept it, it's truly their loss. So why let that weed grow in the garden? You know, I weed it out pretty regularly. So I really do hope that reaches some people.
Yeah. Now it looks like that I've got one last caller that's calling through here, and I will give a shot to see. I've got Nina and somebody else sitting here, so I got to make sure I get the right person. So give me one second here. I've got area code 443 on the line. Who am I speaking with?
This is Arlene again. You kicked me off, and I can't seem to pick it up from the radio. So you could go ahead and put me back on hold.
Okay, not a problem. Thanks so much. I'm sorry.
No worries.
One last thing before we wrap up. I wanted to say thank you for being my guest on the show. It was quite fun. I've got a lot of comments on the chat room to let you know that everybody is really excited about you, and they are thumbs up on all the information that you've given us so far tonight. So, yay on that. The other thing that I wanted to get the last question out from my perspective is, where do you see yourself going down the line? What big accomplishments do you want to see with your progress that you see? Have you gotten to a point where you say, okay, I'm knowing everything and I'm just going to keep spreading it, or are there still mountains I want to climb?
Thank you for that question. You know, I'm very much kind of in the moment kind of person, and there are times where I do have goals, things that I want to develop. If I'm inspired with maybe a topic I want to teach or a project I want to put out there, a certain offering, you know, then I certainly follow that. Really, for me, the process is more, it tells me where to take it. I find that if I try to plan too much, you know, try to set too much, you know, intention about, you know, what specifically to create, it doesn't always go that way. So I wait for the inspiration. Teaching is something I would like to do more of. I've done some off and on throughout the years. I do enjoy doing the different shows, the different expos, metaphysical fairs, things like that. It's a really nice way to connect with people in a shorter period of time, so that they can hopefully have a positive experience of this work, learn more about how I work, and hopefully get some insight that they're needing. I don't know what form, and I just know that there's something creative. You've got some artistic ability, haven't done a whole lot with directly, and I feel like there's something waiting for me to catch up to it. So when that happens, I'll certainly let everybody know. So I'm not real clear on what that is, but I know it's still out there.
Okay. Well, it sounds like that we've got a plan for you, and we're just going to see how things go through. And I've got somebody on my chat room speaking French to me. Wonderful. I was born in this country and I have problems with English. Let's see. Okay, someone's saying thank you for an excellent show. So there you go. Anyway, again, I want to say thank you to my guest, Matt. I am very lucky that he said yes to this. And hopefully in future times, we may be able to get him to come back and talk with us some more. So I'm going to go ahead and let him go. And I got some information that I want to promote for future shows as well as my own. I've got a big surprise coming up before you go, Matt. I wanted to let you know, as everybody else, I have a friend of mine who is going to be one of my guests in January, mid-January, the week that his new book is going to be published. He is going to be the guest of my show. And it will be the first piece of media that he will be doing for promoting his book. And so I have an advanced copy of it, and I'm reading it right now, and it's amazing. And so I will be promoting that, basically, until then. So check that out. And if anybody has any questions for Matt or anything, is it okay if they troll my account and look you up on Facebook?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you have permission, folks. You can look through him. Do you have a website? Possibly they might be able to find as well.
I do. It's MatthewMashot.com, MatthewMushott.com. And I do offer an online scheduling service. It's a new service, so please bear with me as we're working out some kinks, but it lists all my different services, different options, and then tells you a little bit about how I work as well.
Cool beans. So there you go, folks. We've got contact info. Yeah, just go ahead and take a look through my Facebook account, which is under Maxwell, M-A-X-X-W-E-L-L, last name McGuire, M-C, capital G-U-I-R-E. So I will be go ahead and letting our guest go here so I can get some information out. Thank you, sir. And I just wanted to let folks know that for the rest of the month, the schedule for our shows are going to be I will be, well, rest of the month. I keep thinking that it's like early part, and it's not. So we, of course, have our wonderful Lennis is going to be doing her show tomorrow. She's going to be on at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time doing her psychic readings, as well as in the studio on Wednesday at 6 p.m. And then on Friday, she does her wonderful traffic jam shows. And then I will be go ahead, and I haven't quite set it up yet, but the schedule for my shows for this upcoming week are going, or for this upcoming month, is I'm going to be interviewing next week my friend Sean Payne from Chicago, who is in a band called Synotic. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And he is also the owner and engineer slash producer of the record company Glitch Mode Recordings, which is an industrial band, or industrial record company. And then on the 13th, I will be interviewing my friend John. I was supposed to talk with him earlier this month, but I was heinously sick. John Bartholomew is the head of media for the AARP in Oregon. And I've got political experience with him, and as well as nonprofit experience. So we'll be talking about those and politics and stuff. On the 20th, I will be talking with my friend Chaminet. She works in our local courthouse here, and I'll be asking her questions, what her experience so far has been working in law and dealing with face-to-face courtroom battles. And then on the 27th, the last show of the year, I will be giving my send-off for the year 2014. All things that happened this year that I thought were something. Like this week, yesterday, basically, we all got to see the first trailer for the new Star Wars movie, and we all kind of went, so yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of it for our show tonight. I shall be running the last song for the month, which is going to be a band called Bastille. Yeah. The name of this song is called Pompeii. And I just recently got into them, and they're really cool. My friend Brian got me into them, so I blame it all on him. Anyway, so here is Bastille with the song Pompeii, and I wish you all a very good night, and thank you so much for hanging out in the chat room, and my friend Matt for being our guest this evening here at Proud to Be Different on the Essence of Success Network. Have a lovely and safe evening, folks. Night.
Close your eyes. Does it almost feel like night?